How are y'all this morning? Oh, we got another toy.
There you go. Bear with us. There we go.
Well, it's better doing this than dumb jokes, I tell you. There's basically three different things I'd like to mention. Two of them in the message, which is, in some regards, two parts. But the other is that my boys up here, they kind of jab at each other some. But I'm thankful for something. Years ago, a lot of people, they thought my boys ought to do it because they were my boys. And they resented that. But today, after giving their hearts to the Lord, they don't care what you think. And just love serving you. I appreciate Chad as well. He is what I would now call my co-pastor. And he does so much. A lot of the planning, the different ideas come out of his head. He tells us he doesn't think too well. That's true at times. But he's always excited about seeing things take place. And as I think built a great love for people, I've noticed a change in his preaching. Somebody said something about this morning. It used to be, it was kind of accusing of others and somewhat judgmental. But I find today, he's more judgmental of himself than of other people. I find that in the pulpit, and I find it in our own personal settings, and I appreciate that so very much. And I hope you folks have learned to love him, and to learn to love Jeff, and the job they do. So, amen. I'm only upset about one thing with them going to Israel. Chad's going to be preaching over there a couple times. Jeff's going to be leading some music. And I got to be back here. What a bummer. So, anyways, that's the way it works. Like when you turn to your Bible, to the book of Psalm, chapter 53. The book of Psalm, chapter 53. Can you hear me all right? I have another toy that's hanging around my neck. I'm fearful it'll be squeaking once in a while. So when I'm by myself, I can turn that on. It turns up the volume. Last week I heard that during Sunday school, when the Sunday school lesson was so boring, I was snoring. You don't get a turn till next week. By the way, Chad has a test tomorrow, and he studied for tonight with a whole pack of Charmin. Years ago, I had a colonoscopy and an endoscopy, and the doctor walks in. He's got this old tube that he's going to stick down my throat. And I ask him, I says, please, put it down my throat before you stick it up. And he tried to assure me they used two different for once. Well, I told some stupid jokes. Anyway. Psalm 53 says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity, and there is none that doeth good. God looketh down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. Every one of them is gone mad. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread, and that have not called upon God? There were they in great fear, where no fear was. For God has scattered the bones of him that encampeth against thee. Thou hast put them to shame, because God hath departed them. All the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion, when God reigneth, or when God bringeth back the captivity of his people. Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you. We have this opportunity to be in the house of the Lord. I pray somehow, oh God, though the voice be weak, the spirit be strong in the lives of your people. I pray that you would work. If there be one without Christ, today would be the day of salvation. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. I want to read you a quote. I do not know the author of this quote, but it says this. It's one of the settled maxims of religion that every man who is a true Christian gains a victory over the world. Did you hear that? It's a true maxim. And consequently, a maxim has settled that where the spirit of the world reigns supremely in their heart, there is no true religion. But if this be a true principle, how many professed Christians there are who are strangers to all claims of piety? For how many are there who are wholly covered by the spirit of this world? I will share with you from the book of Colossians what I believe is a tremendous truth. And you found the bookmark. Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1. Notice verse 25. The Apostle Paul. By the way, this is a whole message in this chapter. But he says, I'm made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. A mystery is something, though previously was unknown, but now it has been made known. And that mystery he is speaking of is the gospel that could go to the Gentile people as well as the Jew. Notice verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. If you're saved this morning, you have Christ in you. You are in Christ, and Christ is in you. Let's think about something for a moment. Many times we say we can't do things, but if we commit ourselves to Christ and the Spirit, Spirit of God, which is, I believe, the indwelling Christ, he can enable us to do it. It might not be like somebody else, but he can enable us. I want to say something about the lesson this morning. Chad talked about certain gifts that people don't have. But I want you to understand, you can practice a gift that somebody else has by watching them. That's how we can minister to each other and be a blessing to each other. But I want you to think about something else there in the book of Colossians. And that is this, that you and I have the hope of glory. The hope of glory. Let me ask you, do people ever tick you off? Do they ever upset you? Do you understand today, if the Spirit of God completely dwells within, he doesn't get ticked off. He doesn't get upset, because it's all about God. And when you and I have those things happen, it's because we are selfish rather than, can I say, godly in our thoughts. Remember what God has said, because that is yours. In Psalm chapter 53, we find it says that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. It's interesting to me that there's a chapter identical to this back in chapter 14. And God has recorded this on two occasions. Anything that bears repeating, I'll tell you what, it is of utmost importance. I remember so many times my wife would holler at Jeffrey, and she wouldn't say, Jeffrey. She would say, Jeffrey Scott. Why? Because there's two names. She's repeating something. It got his attention. So God wants us to give our attention to what he's saying here. And the truth is of utmost importance. Fools have no fear of God, and they follow their sinful path. Their sinful plight is very well documented here in Psalms, in both of these chapters. Fools, we find from the book of Proverbs, have an innate belief in the superiority of them's thought of themselves, and God is not really in their thoughts. It tells us in Proverbs 12, verse 15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he can hearken unto counsel is wise. Later, chapter 14, it says, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rages and is confident. Thus they have no fear of what they don't believe exists, or believe that he is actually subordinate to them. Lawlessness becomes their creed. Would that explain the shape our country is in today? A lawless place. Why? Because there is no fear of God. In Romans chapter 3, you'll find much of these two chapters repeated again. And it lists there the sinful ways that are attributed to the lack of their fear of God. A key verse in that chapter is, there is no fear of God. They often wave their fist in anger at him whom they don't believe in. By the way, in that Fear, by the way, is very motivational. It helps us to do things that we might not otherwise do. Think about this. We have right out in front of us a freeway. On that freeway are trucks that go down there at 65, 70 miles an hour. They weigh 80,000 pounds at their maximum. A fool is one who's going to stand there, walk out into the middle of the intersection, and dare them to do something. But fear motivates us to run, to get away from it. Many Christians downplay the word fear. They call it reverential trust. I find that interesting. That's a good definition, but it never resonated with me. I couldn't figure out what they meant, but I know what fear means, and that does make sense in my heart. Fear has a way of directing our actions, and it ought to. When we have a fear of God, direct our actions toward Him. Excuse my numb fingers. How many have a problem turning pages? That's your gift. Fools are fools. I didn't want it. Because they have no fear of God or His judgments. Excuse me. We find from verses 2 and 3 that fools are very common. Verse 3 is very plain. Every one of them has gone back. Everyone. They're everywhere. Listen, no matter what town you're in, no matter what state you're in, no matter what nation you're in, they have them. Every organization has its fools. Most of you think that it's your boss. Every organization does have a fool. Every business has a fool. Most families have at least one. Would you agree? What's sad is when the rest of your family believes it's you. But they're everywhere. Do you know there's so many different fears that scientists have labeled many of them? Here's a new one. I'll give this one to Doug. Bellitophobia means a fear of baldness or of bald people. Aerophobia means a fear of drafts. Lophobia means a fear of objects on the left side of the body. That's her. Dextrophobia means a fear on the right side of the body. Do you realize that aurorophobic is a fear of the northern lights? Caliprophobia is a fear of obscure meetings. And walking is the fear of standing. Is a status phobia. I have a fear of obscure meeting on that one. Odontophobia is a fear of teeth. Can you believe that? Graphophobia is a fear of writing in public. Phobophobia is a fear of being afraid. We have many different fears. Everywhere you don't find God in the hearts of men, they are fools. And where there is sin, there's a fool. The Bible says in Proverbs 10:23, it is as sport to a fool to do mischief. righteous and is confident. Sinfulness is foolish, and foolishness is sinful. Fools live by the way in fear. I find this interesting. It tells us in verse 5, there were they in great fear. Interesting. Though they fear not God, they have a fear. Years ago, Khrushchev was given a speech when he was interrupted by a heckler that called him a fool. And Khrushchev stopped his speech and he said this to them after a long pause. He says, "You are one of Stalin's colleagues. Why didn't you stop him?" He said, "Who said that?" roared the Khrushchev. An agonizing silence followed, and nobody spoke up. Why? Because that Khrushchev said this. Now you know why. They were afraid of Stalin. There was a guy named Black Bart. He was a professional thief. It brought great fear to the Western world, as he robbed many stagecoaches. Particularly, he terrorized the Wells Fargo stage line. From San Francisco to New York, his name was synonymous with danger of the frontier. Between 1875 and 1833, he robbed 29 different stagecoach crews. Amazingly, Black Bart never fired one shot. A hood was always over his face, and the victims were so scared that they did whatever he wanted. And he used that fear to paralyze those he sought to rob. His sinister presence was enough to overwhelm the toughest stagecoach guard. Do you realize today, without God, there is no deliver, and all there are the thoughts of the fears of this world. Right now, we have many people scared. We have things taking place in Ukraine, and many people fearful. By the way, pray for our missionaries that are there. We have one missionary, though he's not there at present, Brother Beal, who's ministered to them for years. And he gets letters constantly, now wanting Bible studies, and he's able to help them. And so we find that we fear men because we fear God so little. That's a quote by a man named William Kernar, a preacher in the 1600s. But there is hope for a fool, because he can't be saved. Normally, he will not listen. He will not hear what's being said. Proverbs 23 speaks of that. When he speaks, says, "Speak not into the ears of fools, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words." In Proverbs 24, it says, "Wisdom is too high for a fool, and he openeth not his mouth in the gate." But we do find that often through some tragedy that a fool could come to some wisdom and learn to fear God. Proverbs 26, verse 23, says this: "A whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back." By the way, apply that to your children. They're fools so often, but the rod will drive it We find an account in Luke chapter 15. That account is of a man who was a fool. We call him the prodigal son. But there in the hog pen, after severe whipping by God in all that he was going through, we find that the Bible says he came to himself. What's that mean? What's that mean? He finally had the wisdom to listen to God and to put his trust there. And he was able to go back to his daddy who was waiting. By the way, your heavenly Father is waiting on you. Quit being a fool if you are. Father, thank you this morning for this time. Thank you for this, your word. I pray that it will be helpful, meaningful, and delightful in the hearts of your people. I pray that its words might be caught by those who have not listened to you before. Have your way and your will in Christ's name.